Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Shut up, bitches. I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, headbees, this is the ESE Podcast. This is Eat Sleep Elite, your weekly AEW review breakdown. And we're back again. It's after the triple down week, you know, where we then took the rest of the week off because, fuck you. No, but anyway, but I'm kidding, of course. And no, you got three episodes, so we figured you had your fill. I feel like I'm glad to be back on this show, because every time we do that thing where it's like a little like 4 or 5 day period where we don't really record this, and it's not even on my mind, I don't know, I just kind of get a little bit like out of it, because I know this is where we originally started this show, Charlie. And speaking of which, I'm with my buddy Charlie. How's it going today, Charlie? And yeah, I mean, I don't know, I love this podcast, so every time we get to get back to it after a little bit of a break, I feel kind of like, I don't know, kind of nice.
Yeah, you know, when AEW does those double up shows, and we kind of, like you said, 3 in 1 week.
Mike might
did
watch
our show.
Double down shows.
Yeah, did our show, did the next one, and then, you know, our last title was 11 Belts Monet, and she's already up to 12, looking on 13. So,
yeah, I know.
A lot can happen
in 10
days.
Oh my God, look at the record she's going to get when she wins the world. Nope, she freaking shattered it.
A lot can happen in 10 days. So, yeah, it was another really solid week of AEW. I thought Collision was unbelievable this week.
I was actually thinking that last night while watching it. I was like, an hour into Collision, I was like, holy shit, this has been a really good Collision.
Yeah,
and then
they
got
back
hour
on track
and I was like, holy shit. You know,
they definitely got back on track after a couple like that were just kind of mediocre at best. And we were talking about that as they were going on, like, good main event, everything else, fine. Nah, Collision this week was fucking really, really good. So,
yeah,
it felt good to get that back
on
track.
It's pretty solid. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that being said, Duke, let's jump into our favorite part of the show, where we talk about our favorites of the week. And you are up first in our last show of October. Holy shit.
Yep, no more October. We're done. Fucking November, nearly the end of the year. Lock the fuck in, because we only got two more pay-per-views left on this cycle before we had to figure out what the fuck the best of the year was. And with 2 months left, Charlie, I think we know who Wrestler of the Year is. I think it's pretty fucking locked down. I think it has been for a little while. I think it's Bandido, man. And I'm struggling to find an argument for somebody else. Because you told me at the beginning of this year I would have been saying this at the end of the year. I'd have been like, I mean, Bandido's really good. But it's kind of like what we thought about our other favorites. A lot of them just didn't get the love, you know?
Yeah.
They were good, but we just never saw them do anything, you know? So, you know, we were prepared for that to be a thing. At least I was. So the run that he has gone on this year, the match with Takeshita, the match obviously now with Okada, I just don't see the argument for anybody else. It's really difficult for me, you know? Like, there are some other wrestlers who have had some absolutely phenomenal runs, but I think this is Bandido's year, man. Breakout, and he kind of went to another level. So it's like, I don't know. I'll ask your opinion of that when I get to that, but I will actually talk about the match a little bit, which was Bandido versus Kazuchika Okada for the AEW Unified Championship. This match was made because he pinned Takeshita. Straight up. Sorry, he pinned Okada. My bad. Pinned Okada and Takeshita. Does that mean he gets a shot at like both titles, or just the guy he pinned? How does that work?
Both. I'm down.
Hey, run back the Takeshita match. Ain't nobody gonna be mad.
Hell no.
But no. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. This kind of always, you know, I mean, okay, so the first thing I wrote was, okay, this match lived up to the hype, duh. They both went out there and did the damn thing. Is it as simple as, like, you just got to throw these matches up for Bandido and he's just going to smash them? Like, because we did it with Takeshita, now we've done it with Okada, we did it with Hachicero, You know, is that just, is it just, you know, line him up, knock him down at this point, Charlie? This guy's fucking locked in. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be maybe the best wrestler in the company, if not like very close. You know, like, is that where we're at? Do we just got to give him the Kenny match? Give him the fucking Ricochet match? Give him all these? Is that just the move? We throw something on this guy championship wise and just throw all those matches at the wall and see which one ends up.
I think it's just one of those examples of he's finally getting the television spotlight that kind of been waiting for. You know, the potential's always been there. You know, the old saying of the day Ricochet left the Indies, Bandido kind of filled that spot. And if anyone that knows, I mean, Ricochet was about as good as it could get when it came to that indie style wrestling.
He was better than he is now, somehow. I mean, he's in so 2016, good now, but he's 25 million years older now, you know, like, no offense. Yeah, but
it's
like,
just,
you
in
know.
2016 when he left that spot, I mean, everyone thought there was going to be a big gap. And then Bandido literally filled that spot overnight. And it was, no one saw it coming. Bandido was kind of this little bit of an unknown wrestler that was mainly in California and Mexico. But
if Ricochet was like 25, 26, 27, I'm assuming around that age when he was doing all that stuff, I'm assuming so, you know, maybe even younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I don't know if he's, what is he, 20? Is Bandido 26? Or, no, he's 30 something, right? Yeah.
I think he just turned 30 this year.
Yeah, Bandito's 30. I think 30-year-old Bandido is better than whatever age Ricochet was at his peak. Like, I think, I know that's bold, but I do think that's the case, because I just think he's been more, I mean, I didn't see enough of Ricochet back then to be able to really, truly judge it, but just based on, like, the heights that I've seen Ricochet be able to reach now, what my mind imagines that could have been, like, you know, souped up even more than the indies back in the day, just with his athletic ability going absolutely insane all the time, but I just feel like I've never seen Bandido miss in that way, especially in a big spot. So it's like, you know, it's, I don't know. I am glazing a little bit, but I do think, you know, I think that's my main whole crux with this, because obviously the match was really incredible. He did some incredibly athletic things. I think this is one of Okada's better matches recently. I think Okada actually did deliver here. And he has been in the big spots, as he always does, you know. But, like, I was really kind of, I kept casting myself watching this match. It's like, is there anybody who has even a fucking argument against Bandido? I mean, there might be numbers that point towards something, but to me, it's like, when I think of who has had the strongest trajectory, guys, basically, I mean, when did Brodito win the championships? It's been,
I mean,
a hot minute
ago. The only one
that's
got the argument is Takeshita, and it's really, you'd have to factor in the New Japan stuff, which doesn't really qualify for our show because it's an AEW award, so...
Right, the only reason our match is going to be a Japan match that is going to be match of the year is because the best match of the year just happened to happen. It wasn't an AEW match, so it does count, but it was in Japan. So it's the way that it worked, you know? Like, but, I think for me, it's going to be difficult for me to not put him in there. It's, you know, I understand the Takeshita argument, but I just don't know if he's done enough in AEW this year, you know? Like, it's yeah, it's difficult to say. He's had really good matches, but I mean, accomplishment-wise, everything he's accomplished has been in the other company, you know? So it's like, do we have to bend our rules and consider it for Takeshita because we're Takeshita's boys, or do we like just kind of default to Bandito? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how
it almost
how
feels
awards.
Like a changing of the guard. I mean, I think this is happening a lot quicker than people thought.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are on top of the wrestling world. And what felt like that match a couple months ago might have been a preview to it. It might be changing a lot faster than people thought, because Takeshita is the New Japan World Champion, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. That's one of the biggest world titles on the planet. That's one of the biggest championships you could possibly get. He's holding that. Bandido is Ring of Honor World Champion, as well as AEW Tag Team Champion. And he's wrestling in the main event against Okada. I don't know, man. What I thought was going to happen with these guys, I was thinking, you know, you always kind of think, oh, when can you do this? I was thinking maybe like 2027 all in. These will be the guys, they'll be fully established at the top. It might be next year, man. I mean, like, I just don't know how fast it's progressing. Everything nowadays progresses faster, right? So, I mean, it felt like overnight Jey Uso went from Hall of Fame tag teamer to, oh my God, that guy just won the world title. And I still can't explain to you how. He's going for that title again, by the way. Insane. So it feels like stuff happens in wrestling so fast now. You know? So, yeah. I mean, look, Mariah May's already gone.
Yeah, no, she was world champion. She was world champion.
Like she, we, it thought, feels like we just started predicting her, or, you know, we started watching the story of, oh, she's going to be the AEW World Champion. It feels like yesterday we were talking about her projection of potentially winning that title. She's already won it and gone. Like, this is kind of insane how quick wrestling moves sometimes.
It's like, I want to put it to you, like, people like this. I think at this time, like, a year ago, she was already gone, wasn't she? Like,
I don't even.
Like, I think she left last year, right? Like, in the middle of the year, right? Or was that
when
this
was
year?
The Australia show? That's our answer.
That might have been this year. So, if it was this year, that's. If it was this year, and then everyone's probably, like, sitting at home right now realizing that this information already, because they either looked it up or they just know it off the top of their head. If that happened this year, the shit that has gone down in AEW this year after all that is insane, you know? Like, and you can honestly maybe pinpoint that as a moment where Tony Khan kind of locked in if that was the case. Like,
yeah, it moves at a different speed. You know, I do think it's fair to say, I think 2025 has taken over 2024 of AEW as their strongest booked year. I think this is, it's only getting better. And I think the well-rounded,
at least from a TV perspective, I don't know about pay-per-views. Pay-per-view run we had last year was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, if we're just taking the overall picture.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really good. And dude, this match, I mean, God, it was so freaking good. You know, Bandido is someone that we've been really excited about and really hoping of seeing more and more in AEW. And the fact that he is that holding two championships. And now he's going out there wrestling Okada. I feel like AEW is getting to the point where even they agree this is what we want to watch. All that matters. And you know, he wants to make the unified title this important, and he wants to make it feel, you know, almost like a world title, whatever the full quote was, right? This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Because to me, this felt like a world title match. This feels like the world title picture. And I think if you're able to do that with two different feuds in the company, two different titles in the company, you're doing something right. So I know it's been like 6 months since he won this title, but I feel like I'm finally starting to see the vision of why. And it's kind of, this match was a good example why, and the previous pay-per-view match. So I'm like, I'm starting to see the vision a little bit with the unified title. It does feel different. I still don't need him carrying all three belts. I hate that. That's for another day. But no, they got the match in. This was a clean finish too, right? This was, Don Callis didn't come out till after. So much different than a couple of the other finishes throughout the night and on Collision. This was a clean finish. You didn't need the horse shit. Okada hit his Rainmaker almost as good as Jamie Hayter hit it the previous earlier in the night.
We need a match almost between those good. Two, bro.
Holy hell. She fucking, I thought she was going to
kill.
You
know Okada would take the dive for Jamie Hayter.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Dude, who did she hit with that? Was it Penelope Ford? I don't know. They showed off their new finisher, and I was like, holy shit. Yeah, I'm all in.
Ada hits hot.
So, yeah, a good favorite there. And, you know, for mine, we're going to take a little bit of a detour here, because I think that was the most obvious banger match of the two shows. But I think there was a lot of good stuff on the throughout the rest of the shows here. And
I mean, the main event Collision on paper, I mean, as match,
yeah, field, on paper,
the year
great,
you know?
Setup was great. It funny stuff on BTE getting to that too. My favorite this week, I'm going between a couple things. I really liked what Mina did, and I want to give her the honorable mention because I thought Mina and Tekla was really good. But I want to go to Ace Austin versus Brian Keith. So I thought these
how about on paper, the fact that this match is happening, and what we always bitch about with Brian Keith is that we love him. We know he's really good because he had his like three match singles run before he got tagged with Big Bill and Jericho. And he was having these good singles matches, and we know he's capable because we saw him do it on Dark and some other things.
Very talented.
Ring of Honor. So we know he's good. We just haven't really seen him be able to go and be that indie Brian Keith that we've seen before, but a few times. And Ace Austin fits right into that mold of that type of wrestler that he would have loved to wrestle on the indies. So they were like, they did something they rarely do. They just threw Brian Keith out there, threw another really solidly good guy that's an independent wrestler coming in on the way up, and said, hey, go have the kind of match you used to have on the indies. And you know what? Brian Keith, I mean, he had the most offense in this match. Ace Austin did look like a little bit of a nerd here, but hey.
Yeah, but know, no, this ultimately no,
that was,
ended
that
up
was
being
exactly the spot it should have been. You know, it's not like Ace has been super established yet, and he's probably not going to be the most important member of this faction when the other guys get back, probably. But
maybe you never know who can get momentum. But
that's true. Ace could be the he could become the Gambit of AEW. But no, you know, but
I did want to really touch on this match. I think they took advantage of this opportunity because this kind of felt like a bit of a random match. They've been, you know, there's been hints of them kind of feuding a little bit between the factions, but well, really tag teams. But Ace Austin, you know, let's get him out there. He hasn't really done a whole lot, right? So let's get him out there. Let's get a match against Brian Keith. And I got to tell you, I really thought that they were doing some good shit here. The fans were really loving the high-flying offense that Ace Austin was showing off. Brian Keith, yet again, was showing off his comedy chops in the match while also playing, you know, the hard chops, the just choke slams of people, really. I mean, he's literally fucking choking him.
You know what he is? He's like Ron Simmons mixed with, like, I don't want to say R-Truth, but, like, because he's got the comedy aspect pretty well down. It's like he's got the comedy aspects of some wrestlers and, like, the actual physical aspects of, like, a Ron Simmons sort of intimidating sort of big beef man, even though he's not the biggest
dude.
Beef.
It honestly feels like some there's some Jericho in him. Maybe it feels like he took some Jericho, of the comedy Jericho.
Maybe that's where Jericho is helping this guy out. It's like, we know Jericho can be funny as fuck, even when he's not trying to be always, yes. You know, like... You know, and he'll lean into that even when he's not trying to, you know, necessarily be that way. Maybe that's as simple as what Jericho does for some of these guys is just letting them, like, loosen up and get have a little bit more fun with it. Because, you know, wrestlers can take themselves a little too seriously sometimes.
That they can. Ace Austin hit a really good sunset flip for the two, hit a leg drop, and then he hit the stomp to the head for the two. Brian Keith then hit this headbutt into a backdrop driver that was fucking dirty. Ace dodged a corner charge, hit a springboard kick, hit the fold for the pinfall. So I thought this ended up being a really good showcase, if you will, for Ace Austin, as well as getting Brian Keith back out there in the singles action. I don't know. I don't know what the landscape looks like for these guys. But this is the thing that caught me the most when I was watching Collision. I actually watched it this morning. Funny enough, this is the thing that caught me the most from it. I was like, damn, I really like that fucking match. It really worked for me. So, yeah. Anything else you had from this one? Just kind of this entertaining, bumpy little fight we had?
Yeah, I'm going to pull up my notes here. Yeah. Sorry, my
mic's
being
weird. Low stakes,
but
not everything needs to have the highest stakes.
That's what, I was saying. Like, I'm like that we can still just have matches like that on fucking Dynamite, because, like, I feel like a lot of everything has been just stuff that made sense for us to do all year, and this doesn't necessarily not make sense. This doesn't feel like we're forcing anybody on. Based on what we saw last week, they should have a fight, you know? So, but either way, I mean, scrolly, bum, 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 bum. I forgot we had a title match on this show. Jesus Christ. it was the first match of the show, technically. Sorry. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I thought that for, like, the first half of the match, you had, like, Ace Austin, like, selling a lot, and I thought, like, in the portion where Brian Keith was kind of, like, beating his ass, he did a really good job of selling up for him, I feel like. Like I said, it's not anything too crazy, but you love to see that this match gets made. That's literally what I wrote in my notes, you know what I mean? Like, I like that this match is still a match Tony Khan can see as a vision in his mind and put on the card, because this isn't just going to be nowhere. If anything has taught us anything this year, even with Brian Keith and Big Bill, it's going to go somewhere. This is going to be a decently long-term tag team title feud tag team feud, which might eventually lead to tag team title gold eventually. You know, because generally that's where Big Bill and Brian Keith have kind of been on the cusp of all year. Is like if you beat them, it seems like you or they or they beat you. Like, there's going to be some kind of title shot out of it. Especially because Brodito seem to be taking all challengers. They don't seem to be backing down from anybody, so...
No, not at all.
Shout out the tag team champs, because they're making it fun to fucking watch tag team wrestling right now, so... let me see, do I have anything else to add in here? Not really. A lot of aggression from Brian Keith, you know, which you like to see as a heel, you know? He's playing his role up well. Like I said, it's nothing crazy, but I enjoyed it. It wasn't anything, you know... I don't want to say anything special, because that feels like I'm, like, poo-pooing the match, but I'm not. Like, it was good. It did what it needed to do. If it had been really like a crazy match, we would be talking about it like, holy shit, they actually let him do the damn thing. Yeah, but I mean, were either of us expecting them to have a 20-minute barn burner here? I mean, maybe 1% of me was like, yeah, but but on paper, it was cool we even had this match, though.
So. Damn right. So I guess let's get into the news, if you will.
The neon.
We have a couple things. I mean, obviously, it's been, you know, 10 days in the news cycle, post-pay-per-view and all that. Usually people get a little rumbling.
All right, who got fired? Who's getting signed by AEW? And who's been sent
nothing
to the
too crazy.
Realm?
So
anything about Britt Baker?
Yes. So Ortiz hopes to stay with AEW for the foreseeable future. He had an interview with Juan Breezy. Said he's got roughly a year left on his contract. Hopes to remain with the company and that he's doing backstage work, which we touched on about 6 months ago. That he's kind of transitioned to that. He's been coaching, doing producing. Learning a different skill in wrestling will give you longevity in wrestling. And okay. It's also selfishly making me a better wrestler because now I'm helping people call matches and I'm analyzing it from a different lens. And I'm really enjoying that. So Ortiz is the day one guy.
Yeah. So, two things. Glad he's still around. We haven't heard about him in a while. So he could have just been one of those silently let the contracts go guys. Glad he's still around because we like him. Sad that he's never really accomplished anything in AEW, unfortunately, because of the tag team breakup, because we know he's good. If he transitions fully into a producer and that's how they keep him on, I'm kind of okay with that. Not that I don't want him, but if that's just the only thing that they see for him and he doesn't want to go anywhere else. But if he goes somewhere else, I'm sure he'll get work. TNA probably could go team with Ortiz. If him and the guy can still get along, which obviously I don't know if that's a thing, but.
Yeah. Well, he mentions here, like he said, so even if I stay on purely just to do coaching and producing and I can still wrestle for me, I'm happy. That's the best of both worlds. I'm still getting to perform. If they keep me, I would stay for sure.
Yeah, so I think that'll be it. I think he'll be like, I mean, there are other wrestlers that are.
I mean, he hasn't wrestled on
AEW
TV since January 2024.
This might be one that Tony Khan just lets go. I would be a little sad, but it isn't like, you know, like Will Ospreay walking out, not to be an asshole, you know, like. But
yeah, it all depends on where he's going with his career. If it's the producing angle.
If this tells me anything, in the next 6-8 months, he's got to get something on TV because they don't just like send people out on nothing. Tony Khan likes to get you something on TV before you leave, even if it's just a match, you know? So he'll get some kind of farewell, even if he doesn't get like a contract. But I think they'll just sign him as a producer, right? Realistically, if this seems to be the direction it's going.
On New Year's Eve, AEW will head to Nebraska. They're going to Omaha.
It's all about fucking Nebraska lately.
All about Nebraska. So this is the follow-up show to the World's End Fallout Dynamite episode. So, yeah, New Year's Smash in Omaha, Nebraska. And it's always good to mention the three on the cover. Hangman Page, Chris Statlander, and Darby Allin. Do that for what you will. What else do we got today? I don't need to talk about that crap. Got to siphon through the crap here. Update on Billy Gunn. During a recent appearance on Fuel and Flex, Billy Gunn said he's dealing with two stress fractures in his back. He said, Billy is fine. This is a very old injury that he's dealt with for years. It does not interfere with wrestling or training. It just gets sore if he trains too hard or heavy. Nice. Attached is a video today showing everyone he's okay. So his absence from AEW is due to him not being booked by creative. Pretty much what they're saying. So, I mean, kind of checks out. I don't know. Maybe there was rumor that he was injured, but he's not injured. So,
well, he is, but it's not like he's not out because of it. Basically, he could wrestle on it if he wanted to, but they're not having him do it. And it could be as simple as maybe they would have something for him in this Bowens and you know thing, but like you know and caster thing, but they don't want to. They want him to be able to be physical, and they don't want to ask him to be physical while he's recovering. Maybe could be, or it could be as simple as they just don't want him involved in it because they're going to be a tag team again anyway, and maybe they don't need Billy Gunn this time. So
he's just not being booked. It happens. Like I don't know. Maybe people thought because the pair is back. I don't know. Again, I really don't know. I maybe put him in the Gun Club. Fuck it. Put him in the Bullet Club. Okay. Cha-ching, cha-ching. So, Swerve Strickland. He was out with that knee injury. He underwent surgery August 27th to repair that torn meniscus, which is why he's been out. AEW said last week that Tony Khan said last week that he expects Strickland to be back sooner than later. Optimistic hope he could be back for December. So, look.
Probably January, February, I'm guessing then. Because whenever we hear the optimistic hope, I mean, he could still be back by December. Swerve's a freak athlete, don't get me twisted. But, you know, on the safer side, probably bet beginning of next year. And that's probably a good timing for him to come in too, because we don't know. Like, I hate to be the asshole that says this, but we could be talking about the end of Hangman Page's title right at the end of this year. That could be something we're talking about, you know? As crazy as that is to say, I would not have thought that 2 months ago, but here we are, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be a really good spot for him to come back in the first pay-per-view cycle of next year, especially if Hangman doesn't have the world title, you know? So we'll really have to watch the world title scene, which we're going to be anyway, but we're really going to have to pay attention to the seeds they're planting going forward post this next, well, I'm calling it a Joe match, but we don't know that yet, I guess, you know? But if assuming it is a Joe match, you know, I don't think he's losing to Joe, but I don't know who his next challenger is going to be. And my head kind of tells me it might be Kyle Fletcher, you know? Like, so I don't know. We'll have to see where this goes, but I think it's very telling that that's the first thought that comes to my mind, you know, like.
So while Tony Khan was on Z100 on Tuesday, he was asked about former AEW Women's World Champion Britt Baker. And Tony Khan said she's been away from AEW for a while, but still very much with us. And at some point, hopefully soon, I'd love to see her, Dr. Britt Baker, come back. So we, of course, last saw her November 13th on Dynamite, where she defeated Penelope Ford. Later, in the, you know, then they asked him about Adam Copeland. He says Adam's out filming right now. I'm excited for him to be back. Hopefully soon after his project is done, he's taking care of business. And yeah, so, and he couldn't really say much on the Andrade situation. So again, they're still trying to figure out legally what's up with that.
I hate to be that person, but they didn't know. But AEW is going to have to answer at least questions about that legally, I think. You know, even if they don't get in trouble.
Yes.
Like, it's not their fault. They probably thought he was good, but he wasn't.
And also, so in this, Samantha Irvin, who's Ricochet's wife, the brilliant announcer, she said she's 1 year through her no-compete clause, only another year remaining.
This has been suspected for a while, considering she didn't just show up in a
two-year clause for a fucking ring announcer?
I mean, just think about how much aura it would have been if a first pay-per-view match or something like that he had, she was the one announcing him. And let's be real, she's not going to come in and be AEW's ring announcer. She's going to be his personal ring announcer. That's how they're going to play this, because I don't know if anyone's seen the way he's acting on Twitter, but he's acting like a fucking asshole on purpose to piss people off to his wife, you know? Like, and unless that's just Ricochet, which may, you know, but I don't think so. You know, I think that's he's just him playing a heel, you know? If that's the angle they play, if he's a heel to, like, the most beloved figure in wrestling, and she's just down with it, and we all just watch that.
Yeah, portrayed. I mean, she could be, like, the greatest manager ever. If she's that good as a ring announcer.
Let's it go, but he's an asshole, and, like, just acts like he's the best, you know what I mean? And, you know, we know that in real life, I'm sure he's the fucking greatest guy ever, you know what I mean? But, like, I mean, he's got her, so, you know, he probably should be, right? You know, but, like, there's so much you could play with there. So I do, you know, obviously it's a year out, but a year from now, you know, when she inevitably does show up in AEW, which it feels like that is a basic signal from her that that's more or less what's going to happen here. If she's talking about her non-compete, I mean, she could go to TNA. I don't know that they're going to pay her as much as AEW.
Yeah, TNA,
you know,
is like, just WWE light now. It's not what it used to be. It's
right,
not really.
She goes there. She's basically going back. She might as well just sign with the WWE.
It's like
at
Ring
that
of
point,
Honor
right?
is AEW light. Like, there's not really a TNA or a Ring of Honor anymore. It's just they're secondaries of the other company. It's fucking weird. It's a weird state of wrestling in America. But fuck it, we ball, right? That's why we need these Canada promotions to get balling.
100%. We need some Canadians. I wish Don Callis wasn't like so good. I'd be like, Don Callis, go start
Maple
a wrestling
Leaf Pro up and running. Let's fucking get that top of the line. Why did that become?
Let's make that Canadian American AEW base. Let's make that the Canada company. Let's buy that. Turn it into
Canada.
Yes, turn it into Canada land. Have fucking Mike Bailey rescue.
So we did
rescue.
Get the bracket. Do we want to do the bracket predictions now or just wait till that moment on Dynamite?
I mean, I'm going to need to pull up the graphic, so just so I have the right names, you know, but
yeah,
because I didn't write it
down. We'll do them during the Dynamite segment.
Sure. And you can just pull
that.
That'll
give us something to look forward to there.
So you could probably just pull it up on the stream for us.
Yeah. And then we had a couple people write into us this week.
Hell yeah,
so,
dude.
A little bit of a mail
here. You.
Mail here at the end. We had Joe Shu write to us on the Blue Sky. This was, so both of these were in reference to the Wrestle Dream show. Joe, thanks for writing in again, buddy. He said, I think your breakdown of Fletcher versus Briscoe was pretty bang on. For me, there's two additional factors. One, TNT title is low stakes. Without an emotional build, this was doomed, which was surprising because sure. the emotion could have been there. But they just threw it together that week. Interesting. So hard to disagree with that. And he said,
yeah.
Two, Briscoe doesn't seem to have that extra gear for a pay-per-view match. And I think that's kind of in line with what you were saying while we were reviewing the match. Is there just, there wasn't something.
I was trying to be nice about it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's, because here's the thing. We've seen Mark Briscoe hit that extra gear.
Yes.
On TV. In tag matches.
We've seen him
hit
that.
Matches.
I think he's hit it on the one Kyle match on TV. I think he did hit that gear as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you take that exact TV match and swapped it out with this one, I have no complaints with the pay-per-view match, of course. But, I mean, ultimately, I think that this...
They might have just blown their load in that fucking TV match, dude. That might have just been what happened.
I mean, ultimately, it felt like they ran an open title, an open TNT title match, you know? So, we just kind of were running into that a little bit, like, here we go.
Also, the story was just literally they didn't want to give Mark Briscoe a title shot. That was the whole story.
Yeah. Yeah, it just missed some love. I think, I don't know, I think let's get something fresh for both of them. And then we had Simon. Simon write to us on Spotify. Thanks, Simon. First time checking out your show, and I loved it. Thank you very much. New subscriber here, Simon from Chicago. Also, I do think another Joe title reign would rule. And Duke, I got to tell you, after this week, I got to tell you, I'm perfectly fine with another 3-month Joe title reign. And I'm actually okay if it happens at the next pay-per-view.
We'll get to why.
I think I was a little too much of being a homer for this Hangman Page, and I was trying to defend it a little too much, that when I back out and look at the broader picture, you just turned Joe, Hobbs, and Shibata heel. It's a big deal. Beautiful promo. Now, I kind of wish they lost the titles, but of course, they got to have their confidence at an all-time high, right? So it makes sense. I totally get it. If we're going to do the 3-month title reign again, look, there's so many names I love to pick. But I loved when Samoa Joe did it. Why should I get upset if he's going to do it again? So I've kind of flipped my tune on that. Before, you know, going into the first match, I was like, no way in hell. I didn't really care. I had a hard time struggling to find other people who cared. And now, following the continuation, I fully accepted it. It's been a week now, right? I'm in. If they do it with Joe, I'm in. I don't know. But thanks, Simon, for checking us out. Duke, any thoughts on another Joe title reign?
I mean, I think I fully agree with what Simon said. I think another Joe title reign based on the first one. He was defending the title all the time. He was giving people like Hook title shots. I fully expect
Hook
us to run that
match. Gave
Hook
his best match in
back.
All of AEW.
You know, we are getting a Hook being pushed on TV angle right now. And we did have him say that he had to go his own way. Is that the setup we're getting for here? Is that we're just not reading the tea leaves enough? It's going to be a Hook versus Joe too. Maybe this time, not right away, but Hook will get the match, and this time he's going to win. That would be a pretty crazy way to end the year, especially if we don't really have a plan for this world title reign with Hangman Page. And I think that just seems to be the, you know, I'll get into it more because you thought the rant on the pay-per-view show was good. Oh boy. Thought they were going to do something to fucking make me a little bit less upset, but I'll have things to say. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I think it's just it's a lack of plan the whole time, and you can kind of tell. Because they don't really know where they're doing with this. And it feels like we've done the same story fucking 3 or 4 pay-per-views in a row right now with Hangman, other than that fucking Kyle match, which is going to stand out as the best match of the title reign. Shout out Kyle. But
it stands out as the only one that felt different. That's for sure.
So when we get to the end of this, I don't know what that discussion is going to be like. It might just be a 30-minute rant by us, you know, but yeah, I don't disagree. That's all I'll say because I have more things to say about this later, and I don't want to step on my own thoughts later. But
yeah. So thanks Simon and Joe Shu for writing into us. We really appreciate it. As always, guys, if you have any thoughts, I mean, leave them in the Spotify here. If you're on Spotify, you can write in. Unfortunately, I don't think any of the other podcast platforms have that. I thought Apple did, but they don't. So. Yeah, as always,
write to us on Spotify,
thoughts,
or if you really want to write to us and you don't have a Spotify, you know, and you're listening to us on another platform, you can just add us on Blue Sky @BaneDuke @OCharlie with an X instead of an A, And that's, I say at us because I can't check my DMs on the website anymore. I won't go into why, but I just can't. So
yeah,
don't DM me. I won't be able to see it. You could still maybe DM me on X. I don't know if my DMs are open. Same at Bane Duke. So, but if you do actually desperately want to DM me because it's something you don't want to publicize, I guess go there. But if on Blue Sky, which is where I prefer to engage, you'll just have to publicly, say what's up because the website decided to be bully. So yeah. Anyway, yeah.
But so yeah, go ahead and hit us up there and we can go from there. But real quick, we're going to take just a couple, like a 30 second break here and we will be right back.
It's the season of gratitude. We love this time of year because it helps us to actually take the time to focus on all that we truly have and all that we're thankful for.
At Simple Bath & Kitchen, all of you pop to the top of that list. Our Columbus community has allowed our SB&K team to work in your most sacred place, your home.
We understand that privilege, and we're so happy that by remodeling your bathroom and your kitchen, you've become part of our family.
At Simple Bath & Kitchen, we're grateful for you.
That all being done and dusted, I guess let's jump into the main course, if you will. Duke, you have the lead here for the next, I don't know, what is it, 8 weeks left of Dynamite? We're getting close to that swap, 9-10 weeks? I don't know.
I know, I'll be back to Coliseum again. Yeah, back home, back where the matches are fucking, maybe Collision will fucking tick back up again in quality once I'm reviewing it. Probably not.
Hey!
Look, I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying you had some really good collisions at the start of this year.
I think it was just the end of September or beginning of October.
I don't know if you've been keeping track of this, but it would be really easy because we have the who won what favorite what week written down, so it'd be easy to figure out by looking at the cards. I wonder which show got more favorites this year.
Oh yeah, I have to look.
Interesting. You'll have to do a lot of research for that one. That might be one we have to just table till next year and keep track, but I'm really curious. I would guess Dynamite has really kind of really, really picked up in the middle to the end of the year, so it probably would be Dynamite, but I don't actually know. I don't know if all the big matches have necessarily been on Dynamite. They haven't always been, so. But yeah, I guess that takes us to Dynamite post the pay-per-view, which means lots of shit happening. And we opened up a show, obviously. Excalibur does the card rundown. I don't remember what the fuck he was yapping about. Some matches, I don't know. I'm sure he said something important, And then we cut to a backstage video post pay-per-view main event. Well, I guess it wasn't. I guess it was the main event? Whatever, the fucking world title match. And Adam Page says he's going to ruin Samoa Joe's fucking life. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all Joe. Right. Okay, Joe. Okay, Adam. I didn't care about that. I was like, okay, sure, Adam. Adam's Adaming. Cool, And then we get into some interesting stuff. The Hurt Syndicate took on the Ops for the AEW World Trios Championship. And I thought Shibata and Benjamin did some really interesting things to open this one up. I got a little mixy with it. Joe ends up picking up the win, choking out MVP, which, I guess is the easy bailout in this match. This is a better match for me. I know this is going to sound sad, but because they're not wrestling the demand, I actually kind of enjoyed this Hurt Syndicate match a little bit. Not that I haven't been, but I've just been like, all right, can we wrestle literally anybody else on the planet right now? And I guess they can, so.
Yeah.
It is possible. They do lose the match here, though, and then they run off to take out the demand. So I guess that's not done, but.
Yeah, what?
I know. That was the show was good. There's a lot of that on it. So get ready for that. But, they just. I don't know. They don't want to end any feuds right now, I guess. I don't fucking know. They're like, fuck it. We're punting on Full Gear. We did a really good Russell Dream. Full Gear is just going to be what it is. All right, whatever, Yeah, it's kind of the same lines as you. It's like, does Joe need these titles right now? No. Is it weird if he loses them right now on the way back probably to the world title again? I also want to say this. It is really weird that we're doing this Fatal 4-Way thing. Whether or not, which I know we didn't know about till Collision, but it's weird that we're doing it, even though before this, we already had Hangman Page basically saying he's not done with Samoa Joe. so that moving on from that.
I gotta tell you, I couldn't believe they announced that.
The match? I know, right? Why not do that match announcement before this match,
Maybe they're doing this so Hangman doesn't get bullied into fucking defending his title again. Maybe they're hearing us. I mean, maybe. I mean, hey, if we want to try and find a bright light with it. That's like,
yeah, I mean,
genuinely the only thing I could think of is Hangman has to face this guy because he won a match. What Hook's done to get in this position, don't worry about it. Save that for another interview.
he's just there. But, he's chilling.
But
Ricochet, too. I mean, Ricochet's been having a good year. World title shot out of
nowhere? Yeah, Ricochet and Lashley, they're just main event level guys. Sure, so I mean, that's sense. Fair. But Hook, you're looking at him and you're like,
even Joe, after just losing, I'm fine with that too. You're probably right. But like,
yeah, Joe's a current champion. So,
yeah.
So it's like,
Hook's just there. Don't worry about him.
Yeah, Hook's the weird one. So beating Griff Garrison gets you in qualification for the, okay. Just writing that down.
Sure.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But,
frat house free title shots here, you know? Like,
I agree. I was with you. I was just like fully expecting the match graphic for Full Gear to pop up and say Hangman versus Joe. And I was like, let's do it. Wasn't the case.
Yeah, yep. Chris Statlander was backstage and got addressed, you know, the match, the pay-per-view, talking about winning. Also, Mercedes challenging her after the fact and says she's so much more that she's, you know, she's basically a lot of the stuff she's been saying. She's like, yeah, you can think you're going to beat me, but you're not.
This feels huge.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen in that match.
This match feels fucking massive.
And I genuinely don't know. Mercedes could win. She
and
could.
Let's already put this out there. This should main event.
Oh,
no matter what they do with the men's world title, no matter what they do with Brodito facing, like, I don't really care. This needs to main event. This feels huge. They announced it at the previous pay-per-view. Let's do this. This feels arguably like one of the biggest women's matches we've ever had. And it's because they're doing this time and build with it.
The only thing close to it is Mercedes versus Tony. I mean, that's the only thing I can really touch it. It was earlier this year, so, you know.
Or the finale of Tony versus Mariah May, which is
correct.
Quite also literally one of the best stories AEW's ever told.
Pretty sure also this year, just throwing that out there, you know, like, so women's division wins this year, just in case anyone was wondering. This is the women's division's year. That's why they're getting new championships, and it would probably be the main thing on TV going for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And yeah, I mean, just really, really great stuff here. Chris Statlander. You know what? I'll say this. Chris Statlander, what is this now? 5, 6 weeks into her, 8 weeks into her title reign? Feels like a world champion.
Yeah, no, the belt fits are good.
Yep. So she might actually beat Mercedes, which would be incredible for her career, you know? That would be awesome.
Tony did. Like, it can happen.
Yep. Yes.
She's not invincible.
Hey, she might have to lose that TBS title before she really genuinely has a shot at this championship. She might just be spinning wheels when it comes to this world title for a while, and she's just a great bailout, and she could face everybody still for the world title, but she doesn't have to win it. And, I mean, she's got 13 championships already. Does she really need another one yet? Probably not, but she'll lose one eventually, you know, so... You know, then there'll be a slot in there for the world title belt. Okay. So, yes. And then I think we went to commercial at some point. I don't know when. I think I might have even missed something that happened else between here, but this is what I have written next to my notes. And then Darby Allin comes out, comes down to the ring. We might have even just cut back from backstage and he came out. I'm not sure.
Hold on. I did want to mention the unbelievably great Charles Barkley riff from Joe and Powerhouse Hobbs.
Is that the thing that I missed in between here? Women? That's right. That he did do that. That is something that Joe said.
That was a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the fucking hilarious Charles Barkley. Like,
I love the way Hobbs are like lifting in the lift.
Hobbs was loving it, man. He said, "Hey, let me get some of the big women."
I bet Hobbs does like some big women. You know what I mean? Like, hey, it probably you know
he can do something with those muscles.
That's all I'm gonna say. He's a big man. You know, he might like it. You know. I got a little cushion.
That promo convinced me, like, yeah, these guys are going to be great as heels. Because Samoa Joe knows how to really fuck with people's emotions, but not, like,
it's going
to
be great, too,
because
he's going to be funny and fun for a few weeks, and then he's going to do the Joe thing where he turns that switch, and everybody's going to just be fucking, you know, stupid bad guys. And it's going to be fucking great, you know?
Yeah. What happens when he puts that cowboy down?
Ooh. Cowboy might be dead.
Could be some good shit there.
Darby Allin came down to the ring, and he cut a pretty impassioned promo here. He talked about climbing Mount Everest and how when he was doing that, some people called him irresponsible, that he didn't have what it takes to be a world champion because he was so risky, you know? I can't remember if one of us said that.
I don't know. It might have been one of us. It feels like the kind of thing one of us would say, just like flippantly without thinking about it. But then that would be the thing Darby would remember, you know? I don't think he listens to our show, though. But you never know. And yeah, so he talks about like that actually it should make him more material than anything because he's willing to die for this. And I actually kind of agree with that. That's fair. I didn't think about it like that, but you know. I mean, what do you think of Darby here? He says the Death Riders are going to be his forever enemies. So I guess he's still not done with Jon Moxley. Maybe.
I took this as he'll forever hate them. I don't think he'll be fighting Jon Moxley.
It's like
week.
Anakin and Obi-Wan at the end of episode.
Yeah, don't think he'll be fighting Jon Moxley next week or at the pay-per-view. I could be wrong. Totally willing to. I could be wrong. But this feels like a. You know,
Jon Moxley engaged in beatdowns this week, and Darby did not come running to the person's aid. So it might be that Darby is just over. He feels like he's won enough. He's taken enough away from Jon Moxley.
Beat them down. So that begs the question, what do you do next with Darby? Because does he join in on this crusade against the Don Callis family? A little too close to what he just did. I would try and do an angle of maybe some like burnt out core AEW member is almost like jealous and angry that Darby bleeds for that flag when it should be them. I mean, MJF
kind of
fits
that. I wish
he wasn't
a Death Rider because him and Pac could have a really good
feud.
Him and
Pac
could
do that. I'm kind of thinking MJF. I mean, I don't know what he's doing right now, but it feels like Darby could really do something with that where he is MJF's almost. You know, because MJF plays the jealousy role so well of,
oh yeah,
you don't bleed for that flag.
Problem
I got a tattoo on my fucking
leg,
you know?
I'm going to rebuild myself and come back better. And so I think when MJF comes back, he's going to be, you know, skyrocketing toward that world title scene that we never saw him really, you know, I mean, he got an opportunity, but we never really saw him have like a believable chance at it this year, you know? Like,
yeah,
maybe
pay Christian a visit.
Yeah, he's
what's
not
up
busy
with that?
Right now. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll pay Kip Sabian a visit. I would like to see Kip get some action. And again, Kip was in the first ever AEW match. I mean, that would, again, kind of allude to what I was just saying. So it might have just wrote itself. But I don't know. I'd like to see Darby maybe stay away from some titles, stay away from some factions, but still, you know, maybe pick and choose an opponent here that we could have some fun with.
Maybe this is our Ortiz angle to get him back on TV.
I mean, day one AEW guy. So, yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. I think Darby, I don't know where he's going either. But I'm curious to see where it is, because everything he's done so far this year when we've had him has been pretty good.
I mean, I got to tell you, if Samoa Joe was the champion right now, Darby and Samoa Joe
very good world
nutty.
Championship match.
That could be fucking nutty.
Their series of matches for the TNT Championship where Darby was the only person to beat him for that title, by the way, I'm pretty sure, except for, well, I think Hobbs beat him later, right? But like, he was the only person.
Darby had that 4-week title run where he just went nuts.
Yes, I think he defended against Pac in that title reign. Fuck, you know, like, anyway, yeah, so, like, yes, I lock it in. We don't need to have him win off of him, but, you know, we could at least have him, we can have him play it up. I beat you before for the TNT title. What are you going to do this time, bitch?
Yeah.
Is everything just actually, like, booking itself right now, and we're just overthinking it with the Joe shit? Like, we locked in too hard on Hangman being the greatest champion ever, and we just...
That's why I was saying.
Did we overhype that? Did we overhype Hangman Page's title reign in our
head? Yes, we did. 100%. Yes, we did. And Kyle, and because of how good it was with Kyle, we got sucked in even more. So now you just got to take that step back, take it for what it is, and realize we're getting a heel Samoa Joe facing a babyface Hangman. On the surface, I'm so down. I wouldn't even care if it's for a title, right? So
no, we talked about this. We knew that was what was going to carry this, was going to be Joe's promo ability. And Hangman's ability to adapt to anybody he faces. So that's, I think it's going to be great. But I think we just maybe shot out of a gun a little too hot. But I still am pissed about the fucking,
this is clearly still,
you know.
No matter what we say, this is the wrong call post-Death Riders. This was absolutely the wrong call. There's no fucking changing that.
It just feels like we're hitting the ejector seat on this title reign, you know? Like,
yeah, the fact that this is what we did following the best heel AEW title reign we've had. Like, he literally destroyed the company. He was on top of the mountain, like, just destroying everyone.
He put the title in the bag.
Literally. He hid the title. And we get this big babyface ascension, and we were a little too hyped for it. So that's why sometimes you got to take that step back. And I think I think I've fully done that now.
Turned the world title into a MacGuffin.
And that's why I feel a little different, you know, 10 days, 11 days out from that pay-per-view. I'm like, all right, I've accepted what's going on. I like Samoa Joe's actions this week. You know, I'm down. But, you know, I do think...
I feel like I was justified in my rant at the pay-per-view show.
Absolutely. We're hot after it. But, you know, that's what happens with time, is we're able to kind of now start to view it a little differently. And I wonder what this would have been like if Darby beat him for that title. I don't know. And I think more and more that was the original plan. So, because now we have Darby doing this, and I couldn't tell you what
he's doing next. It's funny, we lost sight of this. We talked about all year long. Is Darby going to come back and steal Hangman's shot at the title? Because he honestly has a really good argument for it after fucking climbing Mount Everest, right? I think we just tunnel visioned on Hangman, man. That has to be it.
No, the gun was jumped 100%. So,
because the seeds have been there. We even said before he went and climbed Mount Everest that Darby Allin is a world championship level wrestler, even if he's been mostly the TNT.
I need him to see that. I need to see him with a world title more than ever. I mean,
I don't care what he tells me. He doesn't need it. Okay, fine. You don't need it for your personal self. I need you to have it, buddy. I don't give a fuck what you think.
Yep. I need to see his passion and his just creative thinking, what he could do with that title. It could be limitless. But, you know, now he's, I hope we get something for him next week. I hope we get a direction for him, because I don't want him to cool down is my main thing here. So now what's next? What do we got? What else do we have today?
Let me see. There's not too much more. We had a little like video package where we basically are teasing up that we're not pussyfooting around here. It's Jurassic Express versus Brodito. Lock the fuck in. I am so down. I asked you a week ago, or I guess maybe 2 weeks ago now. Hey, man, what are the top five AEW tag teams? Are Jurassic Express just five just by default by coming back? Because, you know, you have your obvious War Bucks, FTR, Jet Speed, and Jesus, who was the fucking fourth we were saying? I can't remember. But there's your four obvious ones, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And then I think it's Jurassic Express. And I guess Cope and Cage would probably be four.
Oh, Brodito.
Like that, right? Oh, yeah, Brodito, the tag team champions. But if we're saying non-champions, then probably Christian Cage. Yeah, the fucking Brodito, of course. Those are your four teams. And then I think it's Jurassic Express. Well, if this confirms more than anything, I mean, they're basically saying, yeah, we're giving them the shot. And I kind of, you know, that makes sense. I mean, Brodito, obviously we talked about that they're taking every challenger. So, and it makes sense that they'd want to, you know, go for gold. I don't know that they're necessarily going for it right now, but they're definitely on that path to going toward Brodito. So, and I think, I don't know if that'll be this. I guess that's my question to you, Charlie. This pay-per-view cycle or next pay-per-view cycle? What do you think?
For
Jurassic versus Brodito, because they teased it up in a little video package here.
I gotta tell you, man, I mean, I could see them winning that four-way. I could see it.
Wait, did they do the thing with both? No. Surely they didn't do it with two different fucking stories here.
I could see it, man. I don't know. I just don't know. To me.
No way they did that twice in the same Tony. Tony Khan, you didn't do that twice. You didn't.
No. I just don't know.
Why
if
you do this?
I think the Young Bucks. I can give you my reasons for every team, I think, right now. Young Bucks, for when they repent for their sins, I don't think they need the championship.
Promo segment where they basically kind of. I thought they were already getting the shot. Wait.
Yeah. So,
man, they got to stop doing
this. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. For that four-way match, I mean, I think Jurassic has the best odds to win.
Why announce these matches after?
Hey, gives you a reason to have the fight, right?
Feels like they were already fucking getting the match. Oh, whatever.
Those matches are going to be nuts at Fright Night Dynamite, though.
Yeah, they're going to be good matches anyway, but we know it's fucking winning, and it's like, what?
Do we?
This promo segment kind of felt like Jurassic Express were winning.
We could be having Hook versus Hangman, all right?
I'm down. It'll be 10 minutes of glory. All right. I can't believe they did that two different times in the same show where they basically showed their hand in a video package. That's kind of crazy. Whatever, you know? Sometimes
again, it could be Jet Speed. It could be FTR. It could be Young Bucks. I think Young Bucks need to repent before the titles. I don't want them repenting.
No, I agree.
With
I don't think they're. I think they're the only ones that aren't winning. I think they're the only ones for sure.
Which means they're going to win because I agree. I think they don't have a shot in hell. Which means they're going to fucking win, right?
It is what the Young Bucks like to do. That is a fair point. Okay. In more solid women's action, we had Megan Bain, Penelope Ford taking on the Sisters of Sin, Willow and Harley, and Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata. It was like a four-way like women's tag team match. And I believe the gimmick here is the winner gets to decide who they face first in the bracket. Is that right? That's not right to you?
Yes. Because that's okay. Why I picked Sisters of Sin.
Of course. So, yeah. Oh, geez. I just fucking yeeted my notes.
By the way, I like that we're giving teams names. Top Gods, Sisters of Sin. You know, you can have a tag within the trio, right?
No, in fact, you should. That's kind of the established precedent with the House of Black
group. Yeah.
Yeah, so might as well, you know? And even if you don't want to do that, I don't mind us saying that Brodito could join a faction at that point. You know what I mean? Like, and then they're known as the faction, but Brodito is still the tag. That's how that should work. Yeah, good stuff here. Solid action. Don't love four corners tag matches, I'll be honest. I've talked about this before. I think that it's silly, but, you know, whatever. Because you can just tag anybody, right? So, but whatever. You know, like, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm obviously excited by the winner here because Aminata and Hayter end up picking up the win here. Like you said, she absolutely fucking just destroyed Penelope Ford. And so it's nice to see them get a win here. I mean, I guess this is probably the appropriate time. I mean, we didn't bring up the brackets till later, but this is the match where we find out who's going to be facing who, basically. So, I mean, do you want to bring up the bracket here and talk about it or
yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah.
You
think? And, okay. And, yeah. And I thought
before that, your
match,
thoughts on the match, yeah.
Yeah, I thought in this match, wow, Jamie and fucking Queen Aminata, what a tag team. I mean, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
They looked like a good team together. But first off, I think everyone knows how good Queen is. So,
oh, and just for clarification, we didn't get the Monet and Athena like deciding they were going to be a team until I think Collision, right? Or maybe the end of this show, something like that. It was the end of the show.
Yeah, it was towards the end, yeah.
So, but that's just in case everyone's. So,
yeah,
when
but
we
this
talk
was the
them,
segment to set did. Up the match, right? So
correct,
that's 100%. That's...
No. I just wanted to be because it's on the graphic. We're not seeing the graphic, but if they're pulling it up along with us, it's like, oh, wait, Monet and Athena, how'd that happen? And I just want to say, I called that shit in my bracket. I said to you that team was happening when they were facing each other. I just want to say now, that I am the fucking goat at predictions sometimes because that just felt like it wrote itself, dude. I'm sorry. The two of them are just too good to not be. I mean, think about it. That might be a top 7-8 tag team in the world on paper, just on paper, because they're the two. I mean, they're the demonstrably two best women's wrestlers in the world right now. Would you not agree? Like, you know, like,
yeah,
that's insane.
It's what a pretty team. Fucking, it's a pretty
Tony
good team.
Tony can be 1B or 1A or whatever with them as well. But like, you know, like, or 1C, like, but they're fucking up there. It's crazy. Anyway, continue, because I just, like, fucking...
No,
that
but
team,
I thought that
so
match was really, really freaking good, and, yeah, it set us up for this bracket. So, first, let's go through the bracket. We have Aminata and Hayter versus Sisters of Sin, and then Willow and Harley versus Monet and Athena. That's your left side of the bracket. So, and then on the right side, we have Alex Windsor and Riho, which is the only team that feels random, versus Tony and Mina, as well as Penelope Ford and Megan Bain versus Ty J. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really strong bracket. Like I said, if 7 of 8 teams feel pretty powerful, I mean, am I just forgetting something with Windsor and Riho? She kind of had her back with the Mercedes thing, right? So I guess that does count. But... yeah, so you know what? I'll give it to them. I'll change my tune a little bit. I'll give it to them for that. So, but yeah, I mean, what do you think of the bracket? First of all, this makes it really hard to pick because it doesn't seem obvious. So I feel like they made a really strong bracket with potential for, I don't know, at least 6 of these teams that you could convince me are winning. So
yeah, I actually think I might have deleted my original bracket. I was going to bring it up on here, but. Unless I stuck it somewhere else, which I might have, but yeah, to be honest with you, I think the bracket came out super well because
it did.
there was really just mainly like the most of these teams kind of already, like, you could have guessed. The one that's like it's a surprise is Windsor and Riho. We just didn't really know that was going to be a team because we didn't know Riho was going to be back recently. But yeah, I mean, TyJ, they've been together since the beginning of the company. You know, Bane and Ford, they've been an item pretty much since they started. Willow and Harley, I mean, they're the two happy-go-lucky, hey, sort of like goofy comedy characters. Sisters of Sin, they've been a team for a while. Aminon and Hayter have sort of been like orbiting each other for some time, which makes sense because they have a similar hard-hitting style. And then Moidane and Athena, like I said, it writes itself. All these teams on paper, other than Windsor and Riho, which kind of feels slapped together, but I mean, it could end up being a really good team. That's the other opportunity you have in this. That could be the best team coming out of this. We may see them lose, but be incredible against Mina and Tony. And we want to see them more after this. And they may be the first challengers or something like that, you know, depending on who wins. So, yeah, I mean, it worked out really well in that regard. I'm trying to think. I think I had one slightly different team. It would have been whatever we replaced Windsor and Riho with. I'm really curious what it was now.
I know for me, I had Statler and Willow winning the titles. So
I think clearly, I had that team.
Little outdated.
I don't remember
because,
if I had that team.
So that's my why team, I
find mine so desperately bad because I think it's
yeah
got some interesting
I
stuff
pretty much
on
had
it.
A lot of like similar vibes. The one team I'm surprised is missing is there is an actual – there's two women's tag teams right now. Mm-hmm. Neither of them are in here. The Vendetta, they have a name.
I think I would have included them.
With
for
Deonna
sure.
Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie, or the Renegade Twins, and I'm just surprised. I mean, maybe they wanted to come out the gate with just super heavy hitters, but I really think you could
yeah,
have
I think
done
that
the
was the team I included was the Vendetta, I believe, because that would have just been on paper. You know what? That is a fucking sad indictment for both of them, because both of the really – I mean, obviously you have – Taya also this week getting absolutely destroyed, so that tucks fucking brutal for her. Doesn't get into this tournament, and then is also the joke this week. But like for fucking Purrazzo, I mean, I've seen a lot of people on X recently kind of bitching that she's not been getting featured, and she'll do the Darby Allin thing and be like, no, I mean, I'm happy just to be working, you know, as a wrestler. I don't really care if it's in here, Ring of Honor, wherever. Maybe you're just not seeing what I'm doing. Because I guess she's doing good work in Ring of Honor and stuff like that. But the Vendetta should be like a big deal. They presented really well. They didn't do anything bad. And they're not in this tournament for some reason. And I really don't understand why. Because they're as responsible as almost anybody other than maybe TyJ for this division existing. You know, like they were one of those first few factions that ever existed. You know,
actual
like,
tag teams. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess let's.
I'm down for. You know what, though? This is the thing we talk about. Windsor has had an incredible year and we know what Riho can do. So. It's kind of like they just kind of got bumped out by superior, you know, TV having a better year. But I think there is an argument for them. Should this have been one round longer, maybe? Do you have enough teams for that?
I think they just wanted to stack it. I think that's what this comes down to is they made it a decision. We're going to do 8 top five. We're 16 of our best women's wrestlers, and we're going to throw them out there. So, again, showing off.
Oh, you know, who else I also might have had in place of Willow and Harley? I think I had Statlander and Marina Shafir in mine as well, in my original bracket.
One of the tag teams I made was Thunder Rosa and Persephone. That feels like that could have been awesome.
It could have been cool.
And they were, I think I saw at the time they wrestled together in CMLL, so I was like,
oh, You want to predict the tournament, or what do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I guess since Dynamite, go ahead, you take it first.
Sure. Yeah. So, in my round one, I'm just going to start on the left here. I've got Aminata and Hayter defeating the Sisters of Sin, and Monet and Athena defeating Willow and Harley. So obviously that'll give us Aminata and Hayter versus Monet and Athena, which, you know.
Yeah.
And in the other side of the bracket, I've got Tony and Mina defeating Windsor and Riho, and TyJ defeating Bane and Ford. And I like that because it's a mix of heels winning and baby faces winning, you know. And obviously that gives us TyJ versus Tony and Mina, which... You know, so, and this is where it gets interesting. I love Tony and Mina. I do not think they are making it to the finals of this tournament, so I'll give TyJ as my first finalist. And my second finalist, Aminata and Hayter are a very good team. I don't know if they're winning the tag team titles. So I will take Monet and Athena versus TyJ in the finals of this tournament. And Charlie, I have Anna Jay. And Ty Conti winning the tag team titles.
I like it. Giving some TyJ love.
Monet and Athena don't need to win, man. They're infinite champions, you know? They can lose matches. that aren't for their championships. It's totally okay.
I
be totally down with them winning that match too? Fuck yeah, dude. Come on. 15 belts, Monet? Come on. Let's do it. I'm down. Have her have all the champion. No championships. They're all for Mercedes.
Yeah, no kidding. Can't go wrong with that. So, yeah, I'll go left to right too. We're pretty similar on the left side.
Just make
here.
The new championship belts in the women's division with Mercedes' name pre-printed on them.
Imagine. I have Amiata and Hayter also defeating Sister of Sin. I have Monet and Athena defeating Willow and Harley. And while I agree with those picks, like we have the same ones, I don't think they're that easy. I'm not going to be surprised if either wins. Like, Sisters of Sin lost this week. I'm not going to be surprised if they fucking win next week. But that's how stacked this is. Windsor and Riho and Tony and Mina. This is the only match I don't see Tony and Mina losing. You can give me a 50-50 on every other match. This is the only one. I would be shocked if Tony and Mina lost this match. And then Bane and Ford and Ty J, funny enough, I have Bane and Ford advancing. So I actually have your champions losing in my opening round, funny enough. So that sets us up with Queen Aminata and Jamie Hayter.
You can't bump the team that made this reality out in the first round.
They're out.
Man. You can't do that. I know what you're thinking, but you just...
Queen Aminata and Jamie Hayter, I have them defeating Mercedes, Monet, and Athena. I think that other team's just going to implode. And then this is going to set you up with Tony and Mina versus Bane and Ford. Tony and Mina, they're going to whoop their ass. Sets us up with the final. Aminata and Hayter versus Tony and Mina. And your first champions, Queen Aminata, Jamie Hayter. So, again, I could see them losing in the first round. But something after this week, just with how they've been building with Jamie Hayter, I kept saying, whoever is Jamie Hayter's partner is going to look good, and whoever is Harley Cameron's partner is going to look good. Harley Cameron got a brutal fucking matchup. Brutal matchup. Truthfully, the hardest one you could probably get. So it's the only reason I didn't think... I mean, if they were together, I think they're winning no matter what. But I think those were my two favorites going into this. I think the bracket just... I mean, I could really see Tony and Mina winning. Don't get me wrong. But I think Jamie Hayter winning this title is going to be... It'd be a big deal. And I think it would... Yeah, I mean, what better way to start this title out with someone who is this kind of... Not really up and coming, because Queen's kind of past that, but she's still this younger, you know, newer wrestler to just the audience in general, with Jamie Hayter kind of bringing her under the wing. Just a strong style, fucking ass whooping, technical, fucking beat down lady.
Are we overthinking it, and it's going to be like pillars colliding in the finals, and that's what it is.
As of pillars colliding, as of Monet and Athena versus Tony and Mina. Because I do think it could be that.
I mean, Aminata and, you know, Anna.
It could be that, too. Yeah, I got to tell you.
I like when I say pillars. Like,
yeah, because I think the four... So if you're going with the biggest wrestlers, it's definitely Monet and Athena, then Tony and Mina. So if you're going for the biggest match possible, I think that's the biggest match possible. But...
Yeah. I just think this has been a tournament built for Taija. I think them not being in the finals would be... fucking hilarious after them building this division on their own backs, basically. You
I
know,
mean,
like,
as we're looking at the bracket, there's two teams named, right? They might lose their opening matches. I don't know. Again, there's going to be a lot to uncover here. How are they going to book the division? Because I think traditionally, they would actually do stuff like a Ty J. They would do maybe Ty J versus Willow and Harley maybe in the final, right? Maybe something along those lines. But if they're going for, well, what's the biggest match? Hold on. Is this at the pay-per-view? Do we know if it's at the pay-per-view yet?
They haven't said.
I actually don't see the pay-per-view. I don't see it listed.
It's not mentioned on this graphic, so, and I don't believe that they said that. I don't actually know. So,
yeah.
I'll have to.
If it's at the pay-per-view, definitely Monet's not making the final. But maybe she will. Maybe she'll wrestle three times in one night. Who knows? But so there you go, guys. There's our predictions. Thank you, AEW, for giving us a bracket. Appreciate it.
Kind of nice. It's the one thing she hasn't done yet. If that's the thing that makes it fall all apart, it would make complete sense, you know?
Yeah, it would. So, All right.
I like how we had completely different brackets and thoughts on this completely. I wonder what our bracketology would have looked like prior to it. I'm glad we didn't do that because it would have probably been completely different there too. We probably would have had, I don't remember who I had winning. Maybe it would probably with Mosé and Athena. Because in my mind, I think they both were losing their titles in my mind, you know, like, yeah. But
I know for sure I had Statlander and Willow winning. I thought that was going to be a great tag team and it would have made so much sense to be the first champions. Yeah. Obviously, Statlander's the world champion now, so.
Yeah, don't need it.
Yeah. All right. All right. What do we got for the rest of Dynamite-o?
Yeah, it's very little. Yeah. And what do we have here? Yeah, well, actually a decent amount, but we'll get through it quickly. All right. The CEO, Mercedes Moné, had a celebration of her becoming Ultimo Moné, 12 belts, Moné, Jesus. And there was some puppetry afoot. Harley Cameron decided to be an asshole for reasons that I don't even really understand, that I don't really get a question, you know, because what answers am I going to get? But
hey, she's trolling. Dog.
Yeah, man. She wants a title. If you think she's facing her at the pay-per-view, I could see that. But like, I don't know. I don't even know if she's wrestling at the pay-per-view, to be honest with you. But yeah, so the puppet was thrown into the cake after the Best Boys, I think is what they were called, or something like that. Or no, the Belt Boys. My shit always fucking auto-correcting. I don't know the Belt Boys, though. She sent the Belt Boys out. I don't know what they did to deserve this, but, you know. Were they supposed to murder Harley Cameron when she went to hide under the fucking cake?
Yes.
Like, you know.
Yes, that was the plan.
All right, fair, you know. Well, they didn't do the murder, so it's okay. But yeah,
and give Darby the call for that.
True. They literally said that on this episode, or in one of the episodes too. It was like, yeah, he wasn't willing to kill Darby Allin. That's why Jon Moxley lost. All right, you know, fair, I guess, you know. And then Stat, being Statlander, the world champion, arrived, sent Moné into the cake, as well as the puppet was sent in, and then put her through the table. It was fine. I mean, this is good stuff. I don't know why, talking about it back, I really liked it in the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to move on here.
Yeah.
Just going to move on here instead of saying something silly, you know? Because I didn't dislike it. I just, like, that little, like,
it
that
felt
little
good to,
sigh.
This
I don't know what that was.
What we witnessed in this was, when that crash out happens, when she starts losing titles, it's going to be comedy gold.
It's going to be generational. I can't wait for
it's
that.
It's going to be gold. And I thought it was good to have our champion get a one-up on her.
Yeah.
So again, this is going to, if for this feud to get off to what where I think it could go, you need moments like this. So,
you know what? Maybe I'm just a little annoyed because I'm really liking what this Stat stuff is doing right now. And it's part of me is like, I can't deny the possibility that she beats her. You know what I mean? Because even though that wouldn't be good, you can't deny it being the one that she fucking beats for that fucking milestone isn't still important, you know, like, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, the milestone's long broken now, so anything's possible.
I'd say the milestone at this point is her holding all those championships and holding the world championship, though. I feel like that's the last step, because I don't think she's losing any of these anytime soon. You know, it's been a while since she did. I don't know, whatever. It's going to be great either way, so. I'm not complaining. I'm just looking at things from the perspective of I like what Statlander's doing. So, and from that perspective, you know what I should say? Then it's probably going to be even fucking better now. There was some sort of segment with Mox and Darby, and maybe it was a Mox backstage thing where, again, you probably will say the same thing you said about the Darby thing. He does feel like he's not fully done with him, but it could just be that he's going to hate him forever, like you were saying. So, maybe they're done. I hope so. I mean, I liked what they were doing, but, you know, there comes a point in wrestling when you have to move on. As good as something is, you know, you got to move on to something else. This is one of those times. Any thoughts on where Mox? I mean, I guess it's the same question. Where's Mox going now? You know, what's he got to do?
Conglomeration. I think it's, I feel like it's going to, yeah, I think it wrote itself.
Sure. John Mox took on Kyle O'Reilly.
Yep.
I like the conglomeration. Yep, I think the conglomeration entrance is pretty solid. It's good stuff. I like the little video they did. Solid little match here.
ultimately gets a DQ win for Kyle. I mean, they talked about this being a bit one of the biggest wins in Kyle's career. I mean, I agree. But basically, the story here is John didn't want to tap out after giving up in the I Quit match, and he hit the ref and got DQ'd. So, I mean, that's good stuff, I feel like, you know? It's a good use of a DQ finish in AEW, in my opinion. It's a huge win for Kyle. Thoughts here, Charlie?
Yeah. I thought it was a fun use of the DQ. And they got some good shit in this match. This was... They were definitely trying to make a statement for each other. So, I dug it.
After the bell, they beat his ass, and this led to... I don't know if this was technically a impromptu match, or was it promptu? I don't know. It was a match. Roderick Strong, Mark Briscoe, and Orange Cassidy took on Claudio Castagnoli, Huila Yuta, and Daniel Garcia. It was fine. Nothing particularly special here. Got kicked up toward the end. Good guys won. The goons swarmed. You know, basic Earth Rider bullshit, you know? It was good stuff. Danny got some good shit in. Wheeler got some good shit in. Roderick Strong looking like a demon. Claudio was, he was there, you know.
Best part of the match again is Wheeler Yuta leveling up.
Yep.
I mean, he hit that, he had the comeback moment, right, where he hits the German, hits the Busaiko knee, and then he starts going.
Did Orange just kind of do nothing in this match?
Yeah, he didn't do a lot. Yeah. And then he starts hitting the anvil elbows to Briscoe, staring down Danielson, wanting cattle mutilation. But that's when Briscoe hit the Lariat and J Driller, so... I thought, again, Yuta is playing up that so well. Great camera shot of him staring down Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good. That's your legend.
Indeed. I own all his moves.
They couldn't have betrayed him without Wheeler. That's how it worked. Wheeler could have betrayed the law. Backstage, Mercedes Moné, Athena, join forces for the tag team tournament. And she takes her out for minion training. So that's going to be a fucking hilarious segment next week.
I guess we do have to touch on Darby did run out there technically at the end. So,
oh, come on. Did I forget that? No way I blocked that out of my mind.
He didn't
Nothing
do
can
anything.
End, Charlie. There are no feuds that end. Everything is forever.
He didn't do anything, but I mean, he technically was like, yo, you're not going to do to those guys what you did to me is kind of the vibe. They once Darby was out there, they stood down. So, I mean, it was he was kind of aura farming, but. Just in case people are wondering, Darby technically did run down.
God damn it.
Look, if he's fighting Moxley next week, it is what it is, right?
It'll
I don't
be good.
Know what to say.
It'll be good. It's been good so far. Fletchling the 14th appeared, said he's like the best champion. Mark Briscoe, Charlie, nothing can end. Nothing's allowed to end. Mark Briscoe wants another shot. He's told
is,
no.
That's what the recollection of the notes is telling you today. As you're looking through, you're like, wait a minute.
I wasn't mad at this episode until I realized nothing can end. It's a good Dynamite, just nothing's allowed to end, apparently.
We should just start calling it Backlash 2.
Fuck. It might be. I don't feel like we're kicking into full gear. It's a weird name for a pay-per-view at the end of the year, too. I mean, it's not the last one, but it was for a while, you know? Tekla was backstage confronting Mina, who was like, I haven't seen Toni Storm in, like, since last week. So I don't know what's going on there, but it was weird.
The timeless love bombs.
Yeah, and they're going to fight Tekla and Mina on Collision, which that was really good.
Yeah, really good stuff.
And then we had our main event, and then takes us to Collision, buddy old pal.
Yeah, so... All right, talked about the main meat of Collision, but we got some other fun shindiglerinos going on here. So, Hangman opens up the show. A lot of angry. He's just an angry, angry man.
No ball, just angry. You know, he's got
angry
hair,
man.
Hangman, so,
and look,
if he
we
ever
all
goes
know.
Bald, my God,
we all know how dangerous he can be when he's angry. So, yeah, it's. I don't know. Again, he's just
all
shouting.
Right, I
at
said
Joe.
I was going to get mad at Hangman at one point. Here's where it is. This. He goes back through everything. Well, I felt like I owed you, Joe, because of what you did with the Death Riders, so I gave you that shot. And now I just really don't like you after I gave you that shot, so now I'm going to ruin your life. What the fucking... Get me out of this title reign. I'm over this. I love Hangman Adam Page. My fucking status on my pinned like blue sky skeet for like 8 months... 6 months, something like that, was Hangman Adam Page is going to win the world championship again and the world will rejoice. That did happen, and the world did rejoice. And look at where we are, like, 4 months later. If even that.
Yeah, it's weird, because he's cutting a good promo here, but
Nothing's it's really been just bad. Cadence. It's been why? The why? It's just his the cadence why is matters so good. In wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, he's very like 2011 white meat babyface right now, and it's just weird. Like, everything about this was just odd. But, I mean, again, he's angry now, so maybe...
I mean, this is audition for WWE. Fuck.
We'll see where he does. But... he looked confident here, I guess, if we're trying to find something. But that's about it. I mean...
did he? I feel like he didn't. I feel like he didn't believe his bullshit either. That's what I felt.
Yeah, he's just confused, man. All right? Leave him alone.
I've never been more confused. That's the other thing, man. He got into this because he was confused.
We get Pac versus Tomohiro Ishii. This no, was a no, fucking...
He owed him, though. But he wasn't he confused, Gerald. He owed him. That's why he was confused. Because he thought he owed him already. So he thought this title match was already written. And he already thought the contract was signed. He didn't think he needed to do that.
Yeah. This match was with Pac and Ishii was a wally-whopping, knuckle-slapping fucking fuckfest. These guys were beating the crap out of each other.
This was pretty close to a favorite for me. I really liked this.
Yeah, thing, no, yeah. The collision was really solid. Pac beat the shit out of him. Ishii sold. Ishii then delivered the boom. Pac looked.
And this was like a freaking New Japan TV match, but a good one.
Pac
like it
feels
was
like
cool.
A new wrestler with this gear. I don't know.
Does he need
it's
New
so
Japan
weird.
He might just need to go to Japan for a little bit and just tear it up in like the Super Juniors next year or something.
I'd love it. I'd love it. Fuck it. Give him the G1. Let's roll it.
You definitely make it.
Let him fight Takeshita over there.
Get the world title.
So, something worth noting here. Pac hit the ropes, hit this big lariat, scored the pinfall. Did not use his foot. Like the plating of the foot. He didn't need to. They made sure to mention it. Okay. They don't do that for no reason.
So when yeah, there was a mention that he used that as a way to cheat, right? Like
so, when Pac uses that in the future,
it's a KO basically.
It's gonna defeat someone. So yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
It's a cool gimmick. Got by a little bionic foot action, you know?
Absolutely. Shivani was Shivani-ing this match. We'll leave it at that. But yeah, solid match. Great opener and AEW at its core, right there. Tech lovers Mina Shirakawa. You felt the energy right away. These ladies live the gimmick, it feels like.
Another near miss on the favorites. You could probably say that for most of Collision's matches, actually. I think all of Collision's matches are near misses on favorites. They all had the quality and the time and so.
I feel like when Mina really gets going, you can see why she's going to be the world champion one day.
She starts showing off. She does the little dance gimmicks. Then the person in the fucking match can easily play off of that, even if they're not a heel. It's great.
And I know the term originated just because, you know, she's good looking, but she really does have that live show charisma. Like, everyone gets excited when she's out there. Take that for what you will. I mean, no, she gets the crowd
she's
going.
She's got a whole
dude.
Lot of charisma, buddy.
She does have that live show charisma. I don't know, it didn't originate from the best point, but it's fucking true.
Look,
she's
there
out
was
there
a little,
and everyone
look,
is loving
and this
it.
This maybe was why. What is the fuck? Was it? What the fuck's her name now? Fucking Jesus, Brooke Monroe. Rhyming. Maybe that's why she fucking bailed out because like there was a little brief period there where we got a little bit like 2002 WWE women's division with AEW. You know, but hey, I mean, no one was complaining about it at the time, so because we hadn't seen it in a while, and it was like, oh look, boom. Mm-hmm. But you know, but
good stuff.
What people would realize out of that, I think this is how Mina has probably always gotten herself over, is she's an attractive young Japanese female who's really good in the ring. And so
once
you see what she can do in the ring, you're like, oh, I mean, I really like how attractive she is. It's kind of like the other women in AEW's division. It's like, you're attracted to them, but you also just respect what they can do in the ring. Like, you know, which has always been the goal for women's wrestling. I feel like you want to be sexy if you're that kind of wrestler, you know what I mean? And you also want to be respected for being a really talented wrestler. So,
if you can Tekla, do both, I mean, Tekla is got the best of both so worlds. Good in this gimmick, man. Oh my god.
Yeah,
I
that too.
So
the history
down.
They clearly had, that's what I wrote in my notes, they clearly had a lot of chemistry in ring, and they were one, you know, what was it, the career record of 1-1 against each other or something like that? Or like,
yeah, it was 2-2.
Or 2-2,
yeah.
Yeah,
when Shivani goes, yeah, they're both undefeated, and I'm like, what the fuck is, oh, he's talking Collision, got it.
Fucking
Tekla wins!
Yes, which, I mean, that's fine. I mean, you
I don't know if
it
I mentioned
sense.
Pac wins, but Pac won that match.
He
so.
Did, yeah. No, you did. You did, because he didn't use the foot.
Good stuff here. Really good stuff. And then we get Anna Jay and Ty Mello backstage talking about how they're excited for the tourney. But they're not like teams that were just thrown together. As they're talking, Nixon Newell and Miranda Elise walk up to challenge them for a tag match. So Nixon Newell is the former Tegan Knox from WWE. So she kind of made her backstage debut.
She was one of those ones that was on the track to maybe be in AEW before she went, I want to say, when we first started the show.
And then she was one of the first ones Triple H brought back. So it was kind of
one of those scenarios. I think she did some dark appearances or something, right? Maybe as Nixon? Maybe.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No? Was she never in that period where there was like a bunch of wrestlers out there and she didn't show up?
But she's always been pretty good.
She probably was in our mind as one that would and just never did, you know, because she got re-signed.
She's a good wrestler. So yeah, I'm down for I don't know if I'm familiar with Miranda Elise, but she looked good too.
So do we know when we're getting this match? Is it going to be like
maybe Collision next week? Yeah.
So maybe they'll have their first round match and that'll be their match in between since they're not going to be on. Unless we're just doing one tournament match a week, which would be awesome, but also a little slow, you know? But that also could explain why. It may not be this pay-per-view. It could be next pay-per-view. It could be when it finally finishes. So we do one a week, four matches. Two semifinals, and then the final, that would be right before a pay-per-view. So, I mean, you know, you could just push it back one more week, you know, and say it's going to be at the pay-per-view once the semifinals happen, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's the plan. Or we do more than one match a week, because I would prefer that, because then we could actually have the tournament be done, you know? But, you know, because it doesn't need to take a year, but, you know, hey, good addition, I feel like. Do you think they're going to be on AEW TV now? Do you think that's what the signal was here?
No, feels to me like it's just going to be an enhancement match, if you will. Don't know, though.
Hey, I only ask because we don't really see people just show up randomly on AEW TV and then not somehow find their own spot. So maybe it'll just be for a little bit. But
MXMTV have their casting call. They insult the fans. Olympia from CMLL shows up and shows off because Olympia beats the shit out of Taya Valkyrie. Squats are around, sit out slam for the 1-2-3. This was a squash, and this made Olympia look like a fucking star. Whoa.
I wonder if she's going to beat her for the CMLL World Championship.
Yeah, she looked good. So
her being Mercedes. I wonder if she will. I have no idea.
Yeah, have to keep an eye out for that. I mean, that's a really good shout for Olympia. So we get that hype video for the four-way match for Hangman's title. We get my favorite of the week, which we went through. Don Callis, a surprising lack of Mr. Don this week, was backstage with Lexi. She directly asked what's going on between Takeshita and Okada. He said families fight sometimes. So he had a family of genetically superior warriors. They're going to test each other every now and then. So, look, they're more concerned with pleasing him, and it was unity in belts that pleased him. And he's going to get a peace prize for his efforts.
Do you know what they should do to fucking settle this beef between the two of them? Which it shouldn't settle it. It should still set up for them to have the match, because I think that should be the, you know, the angle. I don't know if it's this again. I don't know if it's this pay-per-view or next pay-per-view. They should fight before the end of the year, though, for that unified title, right? But I wonder if we could take, like, Kyle and Takeshita, right? Proto Shida, right? And then, I don't know, who would you tag? Would it be, like, Josh Alexander, or I'm not sure, maybe Lance Archer, because Japan, but like take another one of the Don Callis family members, tag him with Okada and have him face in a tag match, kind of like, you know, and like the argument being it's not just these two that need to blow off some steam within the family. Like maybe you can show there's some tensions between Josh and Kyle or something, because Josh wants a title shot or some shit like that, you know what I mean, like because he's been winning matches. I don't know, there's something you could do with that, because like I agree. You've got like seven alphas in this group, at least, if not more, you know? So like, what does that look like? Is that something you need to work out via, because, you know, it is kind of a thought I have, like we can't have some of these matches because they're all in the same faction, but like maybe we just could, if we just felt like
it. Let them start fucking beating the shit out of each other.
A little bit of Don Callis civil war, you know?
Outrunners and Dalton are backstage with Lexi. They're getting ready to tell their secret to success. Owens and Caster were arguing, so he never got to explain the secret. So Castle and the Outrunners posed and yelled, and Castle claimed that was the secret. Hook squashes Griff Garrison. Olympia cuts a promo in Spanish with subtitles. She challenged Mercedes next week on Collision. So, yeah, let's fucking go. I'm down with that. So she sounded pretty cool. We get Jamie and Queen. I mean, not to get a hype video for their attempt to win the tag titles. And then we get the main event here. the party match, the 400K match, right? So FTR and the Young Bucks versus Jet Speed and the Jurassic Express. Young Bucks got cheered. FTR got booed. That babyface turn is happening. So it's working. People are starting to get into it, and it's gonna be great when they team with Kenny again.
What society have we reached where these two teams are teaming together, dude? Holy shit.
I know, I fucking love it though. They got heat on Jet Speed right away. Mike Bailey was having so much fun with this match. Luchasaurus, just these four guys made him look like a god. I mean, he just was out there looking untouchable, hitting all the shit, the standing moonsault. Dax Harwood got shot by everyone, including people in the front row, it felt like. Jack, you know, was pulling him back with chops. Everyone's getting their shit in. It was really good. And yeah, I just thought ultimately...
It just gives you some perspective for how fucking rich Tony Khan is that he can just throw money at people like this all the time. You know, like...
Here's your bonus. So, yeah, I mean, Luchasaurus ended up... He was backed up from FTR, hit a Power and Glory, elbow from Matt Jackson, 450 splash from Nick, still a two count. They all go for the giant BTE trigger. They end up kneeing each other. Luchasaurus hits a choke slam. Sent Nick Jackson moonsaulting on Dax, tagged out to Mike Bailey, spinning kick on Dax, and Knight cut off Wheeler for the UFO splash pinfall victory. So FTR ate the pin. This might drive another wedge between them and the Young Bucks. Have to see that. Get the, you know, it's one of the rivalries, right? Young Bucks looked angry, were sad. All the emotions all in one.
If it gets to the right spot, this could unironically be, and it could somehow sneakily secure like tag team of the year for the Bucks if they were to do the best story of the year with Jurassic Express. But there's so much potential with that. That could be feud of the year at the end of the year. It probably won't be because it will be already had, but it might, you know, you never know. It could be one of those ones that in a year where there's been a lot of good stuff, but not in every division all the time, always. You know, that could be the best tag team story of the year, despite what Brodito are doing, because it just works out to be a really good story. I mean, there was years where Swerve and Hangman were nowhere near the world title, but they were dominating the entirety of what AEW was about.
Absolutely. So, yeah, guys, that's it for us. We've kind of already gone over what's happening this upcoming week. Should be some fun stuff there, even if they do seem a little predictable right now. Maybe they'll give us in for an exciting result, but...
Look, yeah, ultimately, when Bobby Lashley is facing Hangman Adam Page, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be fucking awesome. But, you know, ultimately, I think we had another good week of AEW with a really good collision quality. So, yeah, I look forward to getting this tag team title tournament started and everything else. So thank you guys very much for checking the show out. And we will catch you guys next week when we find out who's wrestling at Full Gear. Get you guys on the flip side.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Arut.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.